So let's talk about relationship commitment. Oftentimes, the idea behind commitment is something which is very frightening, especially to men, and more so nowadays to women. Okay. So what are some of the negative connotations that we have regarding commitment? What are some of the things that frighten us or that kind of push us away from relationship commitment, right? So the three most, I would say, obvious is that when we make a commitment, one of the things that we're afraid of is that we're going to fail, right? One of the things that we're most afraid of is that we're going to fail, that we're not going to be able to follow through with our commitment, right? We're going to disappoint those around us who are depending on us, those to whom we gave our word, right? So that's the first thing. The second thing that kind of discourages us from making commitment is the idea that it's forever. Most of us know ourselves well enough to know that there's very few things in life that we've ever done that last forever, right? We're always changing. We're always evolving. We always are thinking that we want something new or we believe something new. And this is just regarding ourselves, right? But what about our partner as well? Our partner also, we can't even guess where our partner is going to go in life, emotionally, spiritually, physically, where they're going to go, right? So these are all things that, these are things that commitment means forever, and yet there's so much unknown about commitment. There's so much that we can't see the future. So when we talk about commitment in terms of relationships, one of the things that scares us is that it's forever and we don't really know the future. So that's frightening, especially if you're Christian. Certain types of Christians don't believe in divorce at all. So if I was one of those Christians, I would feel very frightened, because I'm not sure I know there's a few exceptions, but without a few exceptions, there's no ability to get out of a relationship. So commitment can be frightening. So the first one, like I said, was, you know, the one that we're talking about now is that it's, the commitment means forever. You know, the first one is that we're nervous that we're going to fail, that we won't be able to do it, because most things in life we haven't done for very long. And the second one is that it means forever, and we don't know what, you know, we don't know the ramifications of that long term. The third reason why we oftentimes shy away from commitment is because sometimes we think that when we create a environment of comfortability or unconditional love, that it will cause our partner to not work as hard for our love, right? Because they're already, they believe that they don't need to. They believe that they don't need to because they already have our commitment. So what's their motivation to show up with effort and with a strong sense of, you know, responsibility and a sense of a go-getter attitude? How do I know that they're going to please me or make an effort to please me? How do I know that they're going to live up to their end of their responsibilities if they know that I'm trapped inside this marriage, inside this relationship? Maybe the opposite is true. Maybe by me telling them from the very beginning that I'm never going to leave them and that I'm in it for the long run, that'll give them a sense of complacency, and that will cause them to sit back on their laurels and to not really make that much of an effort in the relationship, right? So commitment can be frightening for these reasons, and there's more. Maybe somebody wants to share a reason for them why they felt that commitment can be frightening. You know, oftentimes commitment comes along with financial obligations, right? So that's another reason. The fourth reason, especially in today's environment, is that when you commit to marriage, oftentimes you're committing to a financial support agreement that even goes beyond the marriage itself. So it's not that you're just committing for the time that you're married, but that you're actually committing if for whatever reason the relationship dissolves. The commitment also means that you're going to be going beyond the marriage to support, whether it's alimony or, you know, division of assets or child support or whatever it is. I mean, obviously we pay child support because it's our child, but I think I think people here understand what I mean. And I see women complaining about this a lot now, especially if heaven forbid, they, you know, especially in situations where they're paying alimony. You know, nobody wants to, people might make a commitment for the time that they're actually in a relationship, but they don't want to be committed beyond that time of relationship, right? So commitment has a lot of negative connotations today and can be off-putting for many people, right? So just to recap for those who weren't here, we've come up with a bunch of reasons why commitments may be something frightening. And the first one is that we've never committed for something forever in our lives, right? Most of the things we've done, we've changed. Sometimes we're into sports for a certain amount of time, or sometimes we're into, you know, reading something for a long time, or we're into a band for a long time, but even we're into a person for a long time. But forever, I mean, that's eternity, right? The second reason is that commitment, we don't know if we're going to change. So how can we commit to something when we don't even know if in the future we're going to be different than we are today? How do I know my relationship's going to last if I'm changing and if she's changing, right? The third reason is that commitment is something that we're not familiar with doing in any of the other aspects of our life eternally. So these are all reasons why commitment is, and the fourth reason is that sometimes, you know, you're committing beyond the relationship itself. So these are all reasons why commitment is very frightening on some level and could be off-putting. But one thing I want to point out is that all of these perceptions of relationship commitment come from a place of fear. And that's a key underlying understanding of our fear, our hesitancy to commit. Because we're coming from a place of fear, right? And so often our fear is so enormous surrounding commitment that we just don't want to do it. You know, we prefer to stay away from commitment. Commitment gets a bad name because we approach it from a place of fear. And again, for the reasons I mentioned, there's legitimate concern, right? And yet, at the same time, if we're in a relationship with somebody and we love them and they check a bunch of our boxes and we can see ourselves where we at the moment feel like we can spend the rest of our life with them, so we want to be with them. We want to create an everlasting relationship. We want to let them know that their heart belongs to us and our heart belongs to them. So how do we do this if we're in a fear-based mode regarding commitment? Right. Temporary relationships in general, there are rare exceptions, but temporary relationships in general don't work. I have met a very few couples that have lasted decades with children and everything in temporary relationships. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but without commitment. When I say temporary, I mean without commitment. Non-committed, long-term relationships, LTRs, as it said in the manosphere. It happens, but it's very rare. And yet there comes a time in our life when we meet somebody, and not just we meet somebody, we feel like we're ready for a lifetime with a certain partner, with one person. Maybe we're tired of dating. Maybe this person really touched our heart or our mind or our soul or all three in a way that no one else has. Maybe we're just so infatuated with this person that we never want to let them go. And maybe we're ready to build a family, right? So there, even though we do have fear surrounding commitment, we still desire it oftentimes. You know, it's a sign of, in my opinion, it's a sign of emotional maturity when you feel like this is something that you want. Okay? So the question is, how do we get there? How do we look at commitment differently so that we're not so afraid of it? Right? How do we look at commitment in a way where we don't only see the downside and the negative? It doesn't elicit a sense of trepidation, anxiety, right? There's that funny, always that funny trope about the groom always getting cold feet. And of course, there's that Julia Roberts, The Runaway Bride movie about, you know, turning it around so it was the woman who got cold feet. But there's that trope about the groom getting cold feet, right? Because this is going to be the rest of his life. So how do we turn around that idea of commitment and our perception of commitment such that we're looking forward to it, that we want to present that to somebody as a possibility and invite that into our lives? I remember the first time I saw my wife, I was 17 years old and I was on my way to college, and we pulled up at this dorm house. It wasn't really a dorm, it was an off-campus house. I went to a school in the middle of Iowa, and there wasn't enough room for about 15 students inside the dorm. So they bought this house that was situated a little bit off campus. And against their policy, they put all these freshmen and one sophomore transfer student in this house to all live together. And so I pulled up, my dad drove, and I was in a station, you know, I was in the station wagon, and I'm in the back unloading my suitcases and my duffel bags and all that stuff. And I'm grabbing the bags in the back of the car, and my father elbows me, and he points across the street and towards the front entrance of the house. And I look, and down the stairs, walking down the stairs, is this beautiful sophomore woman. And, you know, long black hair, just a beautiful smile. And my father elbows me and he says, "That's the one for you." And I mean, I could still see her right now in my eye, you know, in my mind's eye. And I can still see the exact scene. I was 17. So this was, I don't know, almost 40 years ago. I knew then when I first saw her that this was somebody who I wanted in my life. And as I got to know her better, I knew that even though we had our ups and downs, I always felt this soul connection to her. And the idea of committing to her, a little challenging at some points, but was something that I decided that I was going to do at a young age. The truth is that once we got married, it was kind of like we just were so focused on the marriage. It took us about 7 years before we actually decided to get married. We were on again and off and again for 7 years. Maybe other people have similar stories. And then at some point I, you know, decided, you know, she was the right one, and we got married. And even then I really wasn't fully on board with what the idea of commitment really is, you know, because you're so focused on your new relationship, and you're so focused on maybe building a family and you're making a living. You don't really understand what commitment really means, you know? And then years went by and we had children and we bought a house and I was getting more established in my work, and I still really wasn't focused on the I knew I was married to her, but the idea of commitment never really came up. We were too busy. Then in my early 40s, my late 30s, my early 40s is when the idea of commitment really took its biggest bite out of my relationship paradigm. Because we kind of came into a place in our relationship where we were examining, you know, what we were doing here and what the purpose was of our relationship. And that's when I really understood the power of commitment, right? That's when I really understood the beauty of this force and this oath and this personal vow that went beyond my desire or went beyond my current understanding of my relationship. It was really all about my will to create a beautiful relationship with my wife. And I didn't need to do that at an earlier point in my life. I didn't need to, because the relationship itself, either we were just honeymooning or we were building a family or building a business, and who needs to think about commitment? You're just so involved with the day-to-day of what it means to be alive and married and building a family that you don't really think so much about commitment. Right? But at some point, when we kind of got into this routine, that's when the idea of commitment really came to its highest point in my life. And that's when I gained a greater understanding. So that's what I want to share with you today, really, about it. And this is what I understood. And this is what I want to share with you all. As opposed to the fear-based understanding of what commitment is all about, the reality is that commitment is the structure through which you can build the most intimate and connecting relationship. So rather than looking at commitment as the one aspect of relationship that we're most afraid of, I say that we need to turn that story around and see commitment as the most foundational catalyst for relationship growth and personal growth, love and intimacy. Okay, so it's a little twist on the idea of commitment, right? Because it's through commitment that you really get to know your partner. It's through commitment that you can really open up to your partner. And especially if you're a man, commitment is what allows your partner to open up to you. Because a woman without emotional safety is like a sinking ship. She's never going to settle on the water properly. A woman needs that emotional safety in order for her to show you who she really is. She needs that emotional safety to open up to you, to trust you, to love you, to support you. And that emotional safety for a woman comes hand in hand with the knowledge that you're never going to leave her, that she's investing in an eternal bond with you. And that's what allows her to give to you and to love you and to trust you. So that's the twist that we have on commitment. Commitment is not something that we should be afraid of. Commitment is something that we need to embrace in order for us to build a connecting and loving and intimate relationship. Commitment is that tool that we use that allows us to share with each other, open up to each other, and build a legacy together. Right? Because it's only through the knowledge that you're not going anywhere and neither am I, that I feel comfortable being me and giving to you 100%, and you feel comfortable being you and showing me the real you, forgiving me, loving me, helping us grow together as a couple. That's what commitment enables inside the context of a relationship. And instead of being afraid of this and shying away from it, see, that's a big problem. People shy away from commitment even when they're married, right? How do people shy away from commitment even when they're married? They talk about divorce. They walk out of the house. They threaten that they're going to leave. They discuss what would be if the relationship doesn't work out. They talk about their relationship a lot as if they're discussing something that possibly could not exist or fall apart. All of those behaviors are behaviors of non-committal couples, non-committed couples. That's when we know that we haven't solidified our commitment, because none of those conversations should be taking place. So there's obviously nothing wrong with having disagreements or arguments. There's nothing wrong with not seeing eye to eye or even getting upset at each other. That happens. But conversations which go against the concept of commitment, that just undermines the relationship even further. So beyond the argument, the real damage is the talk about leaving or divorce or separation. I've worked with especially female clients, women clients, who don't even remember exactly what the argument is about, but they'll remember that he once threatened to leave 10 years ago, 15 years ago, right? So all they remember is the lack of commitment, and that undermines their trust. So we need to turn that story around about commitment. Commitment isn't something that we should be afraid of. It's the very thing that keeps us together, right? And it's our fear of commitment and our ease at which we negate commitment, our ease at which we push off commitment, or we don't solidify our commitment, the ease in which we do that, that itself is what brings about the separation in the relationship. The commitment itself, the more you are committed, the better chance you're going to have of your relationship lasting forever. Because that's the glue that holds everything together. That's the most important factor in a successful relationship. The will to be in that relationship forever. No excuses. Non-negotiable, right? When you create that foundation, that framework, then you're going to be in it, she's going to be in it, God willing, right? And you're going to have an everlasting base through which to create a legacy, a family, children, grandchildren, right? And a life together where there's love, support, connection, intimacy, and a soul-to-soul connection. Okay, Sky, you want to share something?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Okay, cool. So this might not be exactly what you're looking for, but just what's kind of coming in my mind is, I guess within having a fear in committing to somebody. So I'm in a committed relationship, and we're marriage minded. From our first date, we were, on that wavelength, which was really great. But I do have fear associated with commitment, and it can kind of annoy my partner because I can be thinking about how this one issue can snowball into something down the line if it's not addressed. And so I kind of like am emotionally preparing for a worse reality than what is actually happening, because I guess you know, sometimes when it comes to committing to somebody, the effort dwindles, you know, or the mindfulness dwindles, so then you kind of just get, I think people like, the fear associated with commitment comes with like this idea of being stuck.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess I'm just kind of sharing like where my block comes with commitment.
So do you mind if I see if I got that straight?
Yeah.
So what I think I'm hearing you say is that sometimes something will go wrong between you and your boyfriend, and in your mind, you're going to play this out all the way to the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
And then at that point, you say to yourself, well, why would I want to, if you say to yourself, wow, that would be horrible to be in a committed relationship with this person if this worst case scenario were to actually come true.
Yes. It's basically and then
you say to yourself, well, now I have fear about committing because what if this horrible thing were to happen? At least right now, I'm quasi committed, but I'm not legally and fully committed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of how it kind of affects you. Is that correct? Did I get that right?
Watch yep, every exactly. single time. Like, here we go.
Missing red flags.
Good. Yeah, that's a great point, because the reality is that every, you know, I'm not a huge fan of this red flag idea. Okay, red flag means that your partner is a human being. Okay, every human being has red flags. You know, obviously there are certain red flags, like, is your partner an alcoholic? Is your partner into domestic violence? Does your partner have another family that he's not telling you about? You know, like another wife and kids somewhere that he hasn't shared with you, right? There are some red flags, but character flaws and personality differences, and, you know, that's part of, for the most part, that's part of every person's makeup. So what I'm sharing with you, or what I'm kind of trying to, you know, convey, is that two things. The longer we get to know somebody before we commit to marriage, the more difficult it's going to be to marry them. Why is that? Because what ends up happening is that you end up having marriage level problems without the framework of marriage to help solve them. So you start seeing all the same things that a wife would see in her husband, right? Lots and lots and lots. That list is pretty long, right? But you're not married. So, you know, leaving is an option. When you're a wife, you know, when you're married, leaving isn't an option. So you end up learning how to navigate those. You end up growing together to solve those. You end up exercising some of your femininity to help your husband out of that situation. And he does the same for you. Right? Because separation is not an option.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you see something you don't like. He's left. I'm just going to throw out a stupid one, but he keeps leaving his socks on the floor no matter how many times you tell him.
Mm-hmm.
He just refuses to put the dishes in the dishwasher. And for the millionth time, he's walked downstairs right past the washing machine and he refuses to put the clean laundry in the washing machine in the dryer. Or he's left the back door unlocked before he's fallen asleep. I mean, I'm the guy who checks all those things. I'm the guy who's guilty of all those things. So the list can go on and on and on. Right? So when you're married, you know, and obviously bigger issues. Maybe he's not a great saver. You know, maybe he's not aggressive in finding, you know, a better job. So the list of faults that we see about our partner, especially if you're a woman, right, because that's how you're born, you know, is never ending. But marriage isn't the problem solver. It's kind of like it's the framework through which we go on this mission together where we're going to be building a family.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you're married, so there's personality issues that come up. Of course, there's issues that come up. Of course, there's logistics issues that come up. Always. But these things are solved within the context of marriage, or they're dealt with in the context of marriage. Outside of the context of marriage, they become cause for separation.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about what I'm saying?
I definitely agree with what you're saying. I'm glad that you brought up those, like, very minimal issues, because they actually are, like, completely in alignment with what bothers me. And it's like, I just start to think about, like, the household, and I just don't want to be, I just, like, my approach, or so I think my approach, looks to my partner as, when I see something bothers him, I really do my best to avoid that. And so when it comes to these little things, these little mess ups, you know, little moments of humanness, how it can feel sometimes is, you don't care that this bothers me. Like, you don't care that this, like, irks me. And the feeling of being irked is not significant enough for you to want to change. But it's true that it is so, you know, because the framework of marriage is, like, you have to have a will. It's continued will. It's a continued effort. And I guess the difficult thing now is, when you're not yet married and you're trying to approach the relationship with this deep, sincere inner commitment, I guess it has a cap of how sincere it could be, because literally you're not married. Does that make sense?
Of course. Of course. I mean, as long as you're not married, there's going to be a piece of you that you're holding back. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, I want to help you turn that little story around that you have about the housework. If I were you, I would look at it a little differently, meaning consider yourself lucky that literally these are the only things that's coming up for you.
True.
I mean, these are huge. You won the lottery.
Yeah. He's a good
you know what I mean? You should ask for more of those, because for every one of those, it's less of the other things.
Yeah.
You want the big ticket items to be checked off and the little ticket items to be the only things that are in the way.
Okay, thank you.
First of all, those are easy to fix. Okay. Right, those are easy to fix. Second of all, there's a piece of your little personal offense. I'm just doing a little therapy here. Do you mind if I do that a little bit?
No, go as hard as you want.
Okay. There's a little piece of you that is bringing up your own inner insecurities to the story, to the scene. Right, you're saying the reason why you're not putting the dishes away is because you don't care how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's little Sky, that's mini Sky, who always felt ignored or unseen or unimportant when she was a little girl, poking her little head up and saying, "See, I'm telling you, no one cares about me."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not your partner.
Mm-hmm.
Your partner's just like an oaf, like most guys. That's all he is. You know, or he's just not so thoughtful. Or maybe he just hasn't been trained. You can train him. My son was like one of my sons was like the biggest oaf ever. Okay. I'll tell you the funny story. When we have a lot of kids, and they're kind of spread out over a whole period of time. And my oldest son, he was a big boy, and so we had babies sleeping, but my oldest son was like 14 or 15 years old, and we had like a two-year-old, whatever. And my son in the morning would come down the stairs, and he has like these size 13 feet, and we have wooden stairs in this old house, and he'd walk down the stairs like Frankenstein, okay? And this was like at 7 o'clock in the morning. And every day the kids would get up, the two-year-old, the one-year-old, the three-year-old, whatever, I forgot exactly how old they were, would get up and start crying and screaming. And my wife would be so upset, because it's like the kids just needed to sleep. She needed a few minutes of, you know, of peace in the morning. Mm-hmm. And my son would every day, no matter how many times we told him, he'd walk down the stairs with these cloddy feet, and it sounded like a thunderstorm in our own house. And every day I'd say to him, you know, "Hey, can you remember, please, take off your shoes before you come down the stairs, or walk, you know, a little bit softer," whatever it was. And, you know, we were so nervous for this reason, and for a thousand others, we were so nervous about him getting married. Okay. Because I said, my wife and I looked at each other and said, you know, what woman's going to put up with this? You know? So Fast forward about, 10 years. And thank God my son got married to a beautiful woman. And, we watched him transform into this incredible husband, incredible father, incredibly considerate and loving. The day before he was married, he wasn't like this. But the second he got married, he began this whole journey of transformation for him. And I knew it was complete, that he was going to be a fantastic husband and father when he visited us with his children from California, and he put them to bed upstairs in our house. And it was 7 o'clock in the morning, and I start walking down the stairs. Now, I haven't had little kids in the house that age for a long time. So I start clotting down the stairs. And my son comes running up to me and he goes, shh, shh, quiet, quiet, the kids are sleeping. And I started dancing around the house. And I said, my hands were up in the air. I said, looking up at God in the heavens. And I said, thank you, God. I said, I've done my job. I said, this is the greatest day of my life.
Oh, I love that.
Because all these years you point to him and you say, one day you're going to understand what I mean. And I guess what I'm trying to tell you is that, if these are the only issues you're facing, your husband's going to change. And guess what? If he doesn't change, so what? Is he responsible? Is he loving? Is he loyal? Is he going to be a good dad? Does he know how to support you? Does he listen to your emotions? Does he help? Is he strong and capable around the house? Is he a responsible person? Is he ethical? Does he have a relationship with God? These are the things that you care about. Mm-hmm. Who cares if he puts the dishes in the sink?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I do actually know everything that you, I do recognize all of those qualities within him, and I do thank God for him every single day. I guess it's just great framework to think, okay, I'm so blessed for these not clean dishes.
Right, exactly. That's right.
Because ultimately, totally. That's about him. It's really God gifted me.
Good. And I just want to share one final thought about that, and it's like a little bit on the negative side, but heaven forbid today there's a pandemic, women who are single, right, and don't have somebody in their life, and how many of those women would give anything to have such a great guy, and the only problem being is that, he leaves the dishes in the sink, or he doesn't change the laundry, right, unfortunately. So that's another way you can look at it. Of course, it's always better to look at it in the positive, but this is what's going on. There's women who are sitting home alone. There's that famous meme of the young woman with staring at a computer with a box of wine. And, she could be in her early 30s, whatever. And, there's nothing, women have lives outside of men, but many of those women would give anything to have a good guy who the only problem is that he doesn't put his socks away where he's supposed to. Okay, we're going to wrap it up for today. I really appreciate everyone coming and participating. Yeah, today was a little bit smaller than usual, but it was still very nice. Sky, I appreciate your input, and everyone have a great day, and God bless everyone. And if you need to find me, of course, I'm easiest to be found here on Twitter, but if there's something that you need in particular, you can always go to my website, tons of free articles, blogs, things like that. Yeah.